Good morning, church. Man, it's good to be here with you this morning. For me, this week has been one of those kind of just crazy weeks, and man, it's good to be together with the family. I do want to say, as we get into today's message, as we're going to be talking about God's Word, and we're going to be parked in Psalm 139. We're going to be going a couple different places, but if you want to turn to Psalm 139, that's where we're going to be parked at today. I do want to let you know that we are going to be talking about some things, and I know, you know, some folks have some little ones in here, so I want to make sure that you're able to make the decision about the things that we're going to be talking about. If you're not ready to have those discussions yet or whatever, we want to preface this message. We're not going to be showing anything graphic on the screen or anything like that, so you don't have to worry about that, but we are going to be talking about the abortion industry in our country, and so I just want to give that kind of disclaimer as we start and let you make that decision as we move forward with this. And this is an incredible opportunity for the church to gather together and to pray. That is what, when we talk about Love Life, and you see some folks with Love Life shirts on, and Brother Andre is going to be sharing a little bit later about some of the things about the statistics and about how we could partner with Love Life. We want to make this a focus on what God can do, not what we can do, because God can do so much more, far more than we could ever imagine. And so this is really a call to the church to pray. And what we want to do is we want to kind of set this up with the 139 Psalm. And as we read through the 139 Psalm, just look at some things that speak to this issue. And what I want to do is read a verse that we looked at last time that we were getting together for our Love Life Week. We adopted 2 weeks this year. And the call is for the church to fast and pray on Wednesday against the abortion industry, and then to come out to Latrobe Drive on Saturday morning, and you can meet there, or we'll provide transportation for as many people as want to go out there and join in on the prayer walk with other churches in Charlotte. And from what I understand, there's over 100 churches now that have partnered together here in Charlotte, because the largest abortion center in the Southeast is right in our backyard. And so we want to pray that God will do what only God can do. And so in Proverbs 24, 11 and 12, which is where we kind of spent some time at the beginning of the year as we went through this, it says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" So there's this warning that we find in Proverbs. And with the things that we're going to talk about today, I don't believe anyone in this room could walk out of here and say, "Well, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know that was happening right here." And the question a lot of times is, well, what can I do? Well, we're going to give you some resources, some opportunities to respond. But before we do that, what I want to do is jump forward in the Psalms to 139. I told you that's where we're going to be parked today. That's where we're going to be spending some time. Psalms 139, starting in verse 1. And what we want to do is we want to set this up and look at the way God feels about us, the way that God looks at us, and hopefully that will make us look at some other things differently. So Psalm 139, starting in verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before. You lay your hand upon me." Hey, I love the fact that there's not too many weeks that go by that we don't bring someone up here and pray over them. Thankful for Juan P's service to our church, to our students, and his desire to be trained, you know, to be in gospel ministry, his desire that he feels that God has called him to be a pastor. And so praise God that God is raising up those kind of young men and women within our congregation. He left from here to go over to worship with the Burmese congregation. So because this is last Sunday, gonna be spent with the Burmese congregation that's meeting over in the other building. And it's just like when I read that where it says that God lays his hand upon us, what a beautiful picture that is, even just this morning, of us laying our hand on a young brother and praying for God's protection and wisdom for him. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. And just as I was reading back through this in my notes, I just put, I am fully known and still loved. I am fully known and still loved. Now this is an incredible, interesting, I feel like that's going to poke me in the eye right there, so I'm just going to move it over a little bit. This is an incredible and interesting and deep, you know, thought, but this truth is amazing, to be fully known and still loved. So think about this. Not everyone who would fully know you would still love you. Yeah, like, I mean, it kind of brings a little chuckle, but like, I think of my amazing wife, Tina. She knows everything about me, like stuff that nobody knows, and she still loves me. I mean, that's incredible. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, but it's true. It's like when you're in that kind of marriage relationship where you are fully known and still loved, that's where you're like, man. You know, for you ladies, like, this is my guy. And for you guys, like, this is my girl. Like, man, we know each other so fully, everything about each other, and still love one another. Not everyone who would know everything about you would still love you. If some of you in this room, if you knew some of the stuff that Tina knows, you would not only not love me, you wouldn't like me. I mean, think about this. God knows those things that you're thinking, and he still loves you. Like, for some of you even walking in this morning, you're like, what is he or she wearing? It's not like the pastor wears a t-shirt, not every Sunday, but some Sundays, sure. You know, I mean, just some of those things that we think about that we don't necessarily say, God knows. Some of those angry feelings, some of those fearful feelings, some of those sinful feelings, all those things, God, it says, you have searched me and you know me. I mean, you know everything about me. And that's incredible. That's an incredible truth just to think about. That God knows every single thing about you and I. And he loves us anyway. Even those times when we think he doesn't care. Even those times when we think he doesn't love us. Or that things happen that we say aren't fair. We have an expression with our kids when they say that's not fair. We say, what do we say, boys? Fairness ended in the garden. Now, thankfully, we serve a God who is just, who is right, who is holy, who is loving. But there's times where we feel like it's not fair, that things aren't fair. God still loves us. He knows everything about you and I. Man, what an incredible truth. It's like, you know, just that part right there, the first few verses of Psalms 139, just an incredible truth. And it said this knowledge is wonderful. Like, it's incredibly wonderful knowledge. In fact, we can't even fully understand that. But with the understanding that we have to know that God knows everything about us, he searches our heart, he knows the depths of the good and the bad and the ugly, and says, man, I love you. That's incredible. So let's move a little bit further in Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for the darkness is as light with you. Look, you and I, we cannot hide. God pursues us. This is incredible. He knows us and loves us, and he knows us and loves us so much that even when we try and hide, and we go back to that first, description in the Bible of when Adam and Eve were created and they sinned and they tried to hide from God, and God walked through the garden and found them. So we cannot hide. He pursues us. But here's the thing. We're pretty good at hiding our sin. Now, there are some sins that we just can't hide because they're obvious, they're outward, they're out there. But there are some sins that we try and hide, but we cannot hide them from God. And even as sinners separated from God, he still pursues us. This is incredible. I read one commentator's notes. He said that not only does God pursue us, but wherever we run to, he is already there. Like, that's crazy to think about it. That even when we're running from God, not only is he pursuing us, but wherever it is that we run to, he's already there waiting for us. That is incredible. The writer refers to heaven and hell, but I don't believe in the eternal sense in this passage. Where if we look back on that, and he says, if I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or hell, you are there. But I don't believe that he is referring to the eternal sense of those things. You see, there are some folks who have made very good decisions and would say that they're kind of living the dream. Sometimes we use that as like a derogatory expression. Like, people, how's it going? Oh, I'm living the dream, like just grinding away at work, No. There are some people who are really kind of living this incredible life as a result of some good decisions. There are some people in our world that are living in what we would say they are living in hell at this point in time because of bad decisions that they have made. And here's what I believe that he is talking about here when he says, if I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I'm making good decisions, God is still there. If I'm making bad decisions, God is still there. He is pursuing me no matter what, in the good and the bad. He is just running after us. And wherever we end up, he is there. And he continues to just love us and pursue us. There's the part of this passage where he talks about in the uttermost parts of the sea. And I was thinking about that particular verse and a guy named Jonah. And a guy named Jonah who ran from God in sin. God told him to go do something, and he was like, I'm not doing that. I'm going the total opposite direction. And as he went in the total opposite direction on the boat where he was at, God was there. When the decision was made to throw Jonah off the boat, God was there. In fact, the word says that, in fact, here's what it says. It says, God, the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. I can't think, maybe somebody will come up to me after and come up with something, but I can't think of a more disgusting place to spend a few days than inside the belly of a fish. And reason being is I have cleaned a lot of fish. It's disgusting. Sometimes we try to find out what the fish has eaten so we know what to fish with next time. It's disgusting. The boys really enjoy that part. Oh, look, what is this guy eating, It's disgusting. And so to think about the fact that he was swallowed, the Lord appointed, God was there on the boat, in the water, under the water, at the fish, in the belly of the fish that Jonah was swallowed into, excuse me, when he was hurled back out of the fish, God was there. And when Jonah finally decided to show up in Nineveh where God asked him to go in the first place, God was waiting there for him. Man, it is incredible to think how God pursues us even in our disobedience. Man, incredible. Well, in Psalm 139, 13 through 16, he says, "For you have formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." You and I, we were handcrafted for a purpose. We were handcrafted for a purpose. We were handmade by God. We spent some time, up in the mountains recently and going to, one of these little shops, and they have, all the little stuff in there. And then it says, handmade. And handmade stuff generally, we're like, oh, that's cool. It's generally more expensive, there's something special about that. You say, man, that's handmade. That wasn't just, cranked out in a factory somewhere. That somebody spent some time and carved that or put that together or wove that or whatever that is and uses some of those terms in here. It says, but you and I, we were handmade by God. Handmade is worth more. God made has the most value. I remember seeing this years ago, a youth pastor, and I think I've mentioned it before, but I just thought it's a good illustration, to talk about this because when we talk about this, see, there's many times I think that church people, like maybe don't know the value of serving or missions or partnering with an organization like Love Life, because they have yet to realize their own value to God. So I saw this example where this guy took out, and I'm going to take out, this is Benjamin Franklin right here, right? And if I was to say, who wants this $100 bill? It's a real $100 bill. You can hold it up to the light and see Benny's face, in the back and all that kind of stuff. Who wants this $100 bill? Okay, only a few people. I'm surprised. All right, rest of you doing all right? I got somebody's in the back jumping up and down. All right. I think if we were handing these out, we're not. I'm not even going to hand this one out. I'm just using it as an illustration. If I was to really say who wants this, I don't know that anyone would turn it down. What if I was to take it and crumble it up, throw it on the floor, and then pick it up and say, okay, who wants it now? Okay? Still the same people, even a few more this time. Surprising. But what if I, what if I even just, maybe I had a little bit of a cold. Achoo! And I sneezed on my $100 bill there. And I say, he's like, you didn't even have to ask, brother. Who wants it? It's still, all right, there's a couple less people who want it. You're like, I'm totally afraid of germs. Keep your $100 bill. But we could do all kinds of mean and nasty things. I mean, we could stomp on this thing on the floor and, sneeze on it and, just rub it on our armpit and, all kinds of mean and nasty things to this $100 bill. And if I was to say, who still wants this $100 bill, I still got hands in the air. You see, we have assigned a value to this bill as a society. We have said that no matter what happens to this bill, it's still worth something. And I think the challenge is that many people maybe don't, I'm keeping the 100 by the way. Many people don't know or realize or understand that each one of us has intrinsic value given to us by God, shown by his handiwork that he made us. That he knit us together. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says or what anybody else does or what anybody else thinks. Excuse me. It doesn't matter those things. The thing that matters is that we are handmade by God for a purpose. That changes everything, church. And you see, I think when we, you know, when we don't understand that we get fooled. And we're not, we don't get as excited about reaching out to others because maybe they don't have value either. I don't have value. My father got a phone call on Friday. This is crazy stuff. My father got a phone call on Friday, and I was, luckily enough, I was in line at the DMV. And you're like, oh, brother, I'll pray for you. And my dad gets this phone call, and he can't get in touch with me. I don't have my ringer on. And so he calls my wife, Tina. And then, you know, I had just taken my phone out to just, you know, see how long I've been in line for, commiserate with the other line placeholders. And I see that my lovely wife is calling me, and she said, hey, have you talked to your dad? I said, no, I haven't talked to my dad. Well, he's trying to get you. He got a call, and I think there's something wrong with Zachary. Zachary, our oldest son, who's at work. This is Friday morning-ish, right? And so I'm like, okay, you know, like, what's going on? Let me call my dad. Hold on a second. So I'm, you know, I'm trying to be like do the quiet call in line. Hey, Dad, what's going on? You know, not trying to be, hey, what's going on? You know, I don't like that when that happens in line. I don't know about you. That's just me. But so I'm like, hey, what's going on? He said, oh, I got the strangest call. I got this call that you know, it said it was Zachary and he had been in a car accident and they said it was his fault and, you know, he's been arrested but he needs bail money. That doesn't sound right, you know? And so, but now I start thinking, well, maybe something did happen. Hold on, Dad, let me call Zachary. So I call Zachary. Well, Tina's already calling Zachary. We're both calling Zachary. We can't get Zachary because he's at work and he's being a good employee and not answering his phone, you know, and we're calling him like crazy. And, you know, we're checking our Life 360 to see where he's at. And he's over near Gastonia. And, oh, no, maybe something did happen, you know, and all this stuff, you know, all this stuff is going through, you know, our mind, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, Zachary comes out of wherever he's working. And so he's got like all these calls from mom and dad, you know, and he's like, oh, man, he's thinking, man, something bad happened to one of them. You know, man, I better call them back. And he said, hey, Dad, what's going on? I said, son, you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine. What's up? Nothing happened. You're not in a car accident. You've been arrested. No, sir, no. I said, call your grandfather. I got to go. I'm in DMV. So apparently, this is like a scam that goes on that people find out. I mean, they knew a lot of information about our family. But I guess, you know, with social media, it's not that hard to find out. But this person called my father down in South Carolina. And said, hey, this is your grandson, Zachary. Yeah, you know, I can't really talk real well because my nose is broken from the car accident, but the police arrested me. It's not my fault. I need bail money, da-da-da-da, this, that, and the other thing. And so thankfully, you know, Dad was like, something doesn't sound right. But he was really upset. Like, he still thought maybe something happened. Even, like, as we're going through this, well, maybe something did happen. Maybe there is, all this crazy stuff is going on. And what someone was trying to do was deceive us and retrieve money in return for that deception. Now, look, you know, I was thinking about this in the context of what we're doing this week. And I was just thinking that many men and women have been fooled into thinking that abortion is the only answer. And I would say they have been fooled by the enemy to thinking that abortion is the only answer. And you know, in a few minutes when Brother Andre comes up, you know, he's going to talk about some of those other options. Because we want to make sure that when we're out and about and we're praying, That it's not just like, man, God, just stop this, although that's part of it. But God, how are you going to use me? How are you going to use me? How are you going to use our church to be a part of unveiling the deception? So there are many women and men who have been fooled by the enemy to think that abortion is the only answer. Abortion workers have been fooled by the enemy to think that this industry of death somehow should be labeled healthcare. There's nothing healthy or caring about murder. Look, we need to be able to acknowledge that. And so they have been fooled by the enemy into thinking that, even calling that some sort of health care. Proponents of abortion have been fooled by the enemy into thinking that somehow this culture of death and murder should be guised under the label of a woman's choice. But we have laws against choosing to end a life, somehow except in the mother's womb. That's crazy, church. And so, here's the thing. This is a trick from Satan. Deception from the enemy himself to promote a culture of death and not life. And you see, once each one of us understands that we have been handcrafted with a purpose by God, pursued by God, and loved by God, that's when we will first respond to the love of God. A love that says, I'm going to send my one and only son to die on the cross so that you could have real life and true life to the fullest. And you see, once we experience that, once we experience that kind of love that surpasses anything that we could understand, but a love that comes from God, that leads to a relationship, that's an invitation to be in a family. Oh, man, when we respond to that, it changes everything, church. So maybe for you, today is the day. Maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. And I wanted to talk about this before, we talk about these cards and coming out on Saturday and being part of the prayer walk, because that's great. That's important. We need to be a part of that. For those who've already made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, to put their faith and trust in Christ, man, you should be there. This shouldn't be like, well, maybe if I don't have anything better to do. I promise we don't have anything better to do than to join together and to pray against this culture. But before we do that, there may be someone sitting in this room who has never put their faith and trust in Jesus, has never really accepted the fact that they have intrinsic value given by God. No one can give that or take that away. That is by God, formed, handmade in the womb by God. And because he loves you so much, he sent his son to die on the cross, and he invites you to be in relationship with him. And maybe today is the day for you that you would say yes. I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus for the very first time. Praise God. I want to pray for you right now. And where we go from there is an incredible journey on what God is going to do in your life. And so we're not done yet, but I want to stop and just pray just for a second. So if you would, just close your eyes, bow your heads with me. Father, I want to lift up the person in here today who has never entered into a relationship with you. May today be the day. May they have a better understanding of who they are, that they were handmade with a purpose by God, that you have been pursuing them and pursuing them and pursuing them, and today is the day that they put their faith and trust in you because they understand they are loved by a Father in heaven. If that's you today, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. So I pray that you would do that right now. God, forgive me of my sins. I put my faith and trust in you and you alone. If that is you today, then I pray that at the end of the service, you would come and find me and say, today is a day of salvation for me. My eternal destination has changed. Maybe I've been pursuing heaven on earth, or maybe I've been living in hell on earth, but today God changed everything. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to just challenge those now who have put their faith and trust in God, whether that was in the last 30 seconds or maybe that was 30 years ago. I want to jump down to the end of Psalms 139 because it's funny. These things that God knows, the things he has done, they do not make the psalmist apprehensive, but in fact appreciative. So much so that they make an interesting request at the end of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Look, are we asking the Lord to do that, church? You see, what happens is we get so comfortable in our sin. We get so comfortable with the sin around us, even with the abortion industry, that we go, I don't need to go out there. There's nothing I can really do. You know, I mean, it's been going on since 1973. Like, is that really going to change? Yes. God is doing something. God is raising up some people. And here's the thing. We have to continually ask this question. Search me. God, will you search my heart? What is in my heart that needs to get out? He uses this word. And if there be any grievous way in me. There is, church, in each one of us. And we need to ask God to reveal that and remove that. By his power, by his spirit, by his grace, and by his mercy. And so I just put in here, let these reminders change me, Lord. Let these reminders that I am handmade with a purpose. That even when I run, he pursues me, and wherever I run, he's there waiting. That I am loved by the Most High God. Creator of all things. You know, for some folks in here, if we're to be honest, some of you won't fast on Wednesday because maybe you don't want God to search your heart. And let's be real about that. Like, why wouldn't we join together with our brothers and sisters across denominational lines? Why wouldn't we join together with other churches to pray for those who are being led to the slaughter? You know, some people won't go out on Saturday to the abortion center because if we don't see it, maybe it's really not happening. Maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's not that big a deal. It is. It is happening. It is that bad. It is a big deal. You know, maybe there's somebody here today who has a grievous way inside of them that they don't want God to reveal. And so, man, this prayer here, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Man, that's a powerful prayer. If everyone in this room begin to pray that, man, how would that change our lives individually? How would that change our church family? How would that change our community? How would that change our world? Incredible ways. There are some people here today that are so bent on pursuing heaven here on earth but they're going to miss heaven for eternity. Some people have made their bed in Sheol right here, and it's not like they like it. They just don't know how to get out. Well, here, we're going to give you one way to get out of that, and that's a way that we serve others. So, Brother Andre, if you'd come up and just share with us how we can serve alongside of some other incredible men and women this week and along Love Life. And let me just tell you, I love this guy right here. From the time I first met Andre, it was just like there's some brothers and sisters that you just like connect with. And man, I have just enjoyed getting to know him and seeing what God is doing through Andre and through the ministry of Love Life. And so, so brother, challenge us, man. Come on. This one right here. Give Andre.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. Pastor Rick, I just think you're an amazing man of God. Thank you for leading your church to adopt not 1 week, but 2 weeks. That's awesome. You guys, this is your second week for adopting, and I'm going to honor you for being willing to mobilize your folks, because this is the number one moral issue of our day. And I'm just honored to work with you. And Pastor Cliff, thank you, Pastor Cliff, for all the hard work that you're doing and leading your folks. And Tina, thank you, Tina, for marrying this guy and raising your children and supporting us and everything that you've done. And I love how you've reached out to the children. And that's just so honored. I heard about what you guys have been doing. So thank you, Tina. So God's been doing some amazing stuff with this past, these past 20, you guys are adopting week 28, but in the past 27 weeks, check this out, this is just unbelievable. In the past 27 weeks, we are now at 48 moms and dads that have chosen life on Saturday during the prayer walk. Come on. 28. And actually 29 babies saved because one of those moms were carrying twins. Come on. See, what's been happening is all of last year we saw 31 moms choose life on Saturday during the prayer walk in the whole 40 weeks. Now we're at 49 babies that are saved and we're only in week 28. And so you got to ask the question is why the uptick? Well, number one, we've seen more people come to the prayer walk this year than have come last year. Number two, we're actually right next to the abortion center. We had a businessman buy the property and say, hey, I believe in what you're doing and I'm going to buy that property and you can use it for these prayer walks. So we are now setting up our prayer walk and the sound system and everything right next to the abortion center. So check this out. So when light shows up, what happens to darkness? Darkness feeds. So if you have a flashlight and you put it closer to the darkness, what happens to the darkness? It leaves. And that's what we're seeing with our own very eyes. 49 babies that have been saved as we are right next to the largest abortion center in the entire Southeast. We're not shouting, we're not protesting, we're not yelling, we're not shaming anybody. We are interceding and praying for moms to choose life, and God is doing it. It doesn't matter of your ability. All you have to say is, God, I'm available. Here am I, use me. So in the past 28 weeks, we're now at 316 babies that have been saved in the past 28 weeks. Come on. Isn't that awesome? 316. Just yesterday, we had 14 babies saved. And yesterday, during the prayer walk, we had about 195 people at the prayer walk. Just yesterday, 3 moms chose life. Come on. Thank you, Lord. So God is doing some amazing stuff when the church shows up. So I want to tell you this cool story that took place. So we're out there, we're interceding, we're praying for moms to choose life. And we heard the story of a lady and her boyfriend were living together, and they were scheduled for an abortion there at La Trobe. And at about 4 in the morning, she woke up and she looked in her curtains and she saw a face. And she did I tell you the story? You know anything about the story? She saw a face and she sees this face and it scares the living daylights out of her. She's like, what in the world am I? And she sees this person's face and she didn't know what it meant. She just sees a face. I mean, wouldn't you freak out if you saw a face in the curtains? I would too. Excuse me. And then the boyfriend wakes up. Well, she wakes up the boyfriend. She said, so, do you see what I'm seeing? And he goes, yeah, I see that. I see a skull. I see a skull. They don't know what to do. They're scheduled for an abortion that morning there at La Trobe. Well, that morning they wake up, they get in the car, they drive to La Trobe to get the abortion. As they're driving, one of the sidewalk counselors reach out to her and try to give her some information. And all of a sudden she looks, and she's like, oh my gosh, I saw your face in my curtains. And her heart started pounding. And she this lady named Vicky was the that was the lady that she saw in the curtains. Vicky was like, listen, I know your heart is pounding, but God loves you. And God wants to speak to you. God wants to tell you something. Will you listen? And she goes, yeah, I will listen. So Vicky began to talk to her about who she is in God, that God loves her, and that God has a purpose and a plan for her baby. She chose life. Her boyfriend decided to choose life, and they both got saved. Come on. That's what happens when God's people pray. God shows up and God is doing amazing things. So I want to encourage you to come and join us. So I want to go through this procedure. So let's go to the next slide here. Hit it again. There we go. So here's our mission statement. Love Life Charlotte is uniting and mobilizing the church to create a culture of love and life that will result to an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. We are just crazy enough to believe that God can end abortion in Charlotte. Do you guys believe that? God can do it. I believe God already wants to do it, and he's just given us the opportunity to partner with him because that's what he wants to do. Right now, there are 4 abortion centers, and God is wanting to close down all 4 abortion centers, and we believe that as the church awakens to this, and as we begin to pray, God's going to do it. Next slide. We believe abortion is not going to end through a politician or legislation. Next slide. We believe abortion is going to end when the church shows up to the darkest place in our city. God has called the church to shape the culture, and then politicians and legislations will follow the culture. Why is that? Because politicians want to get a job. They'll just follow the culture, and it's called, we as the church, we're called to shape that culture. Next slide. So I want you to hear afresh the tragic truth of abortion, that abortion is the leading cause of death in the United States, not heart cancer, not cancer, not heart disease. It's abortion. 17,000 babies are killed every week in the United States. Here in Charlotte, 150 to 200 babies are killed every week in the United States. Abortions are allowed in some states all the way up to birth. Isn't that crazy? Can you just imagine that is legal in our country, supposed to be a Christian nation? In Charlotte, abortions are allowed all the way up to 20 weeks. 1 in 4 women will have an abortion in their lifetime. That also means 1 in 4 men will be a part of an abortion. We believe this is more of a man's issue than it is a woman's issue, because if men were taking the rightful place as the men of God that God's called them to be, these women would not be put in the situation in the first place. Right, men? Let me hear the men. Let me hear a grunt, men. Come on. So men, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, I'm saying, man, will you rise up and will you lead your family and will you be a defender and protector of women and children? Let's partner. Let's do whatever it takes to say, mama, we love you. We'll help you. We'll walk with you. The women should not be leading this. The men should say, we're going to rise up and we're going to defend and protect our women and children. Men, do you take that challenge? Come on, men. 54% of people that are having abortions claim to be Christians. In fact, one study showed this, that 54% of people that are having abortions were actually in an evangelical church within the month of their abortion. So this is not just happening outside of the church, but it's happening also right here in the church. Next slide. We're not about shame and condemnation, but about healing and restoration. Scripture says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So I just want to say this, if you're here and if you've had an abortion in your past, I don't want you to feel shame and condemnation. The Bible says if you've repented and asked God to forgive you of your sins, the Bible says as far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's taken your sin from you. So I don't want you to feel the shame and condemnation that will come with talking about this subject. But I do want you to pray about this. We have a ministry called Restore Life, where we're connecting women to Bible studies that will walk women through the healing process of that abortion. And so my mom had 3 abortions, and she kept it a secret for 17 years, and she grew up in an evangelical church. We grew up in an evangelical church. And she took this class, and God used this Bible study to completely heal her of all the shame and the guilt and the condemnation of an abortion. So if you're here and if you've had an abortion in your past, come see me at the table. I'll give you the card that you can get connected to one of our Bible studies. Next slide. We believe prayer is the key. Everybody say prayer is the key. Everybody get your car keys out. You got any car keys? You can just pretend. Pretend you got your car keys out. These are my car keys. If I want to get home today, I have to put this puppy in the ignition and start it to get me going. And the Bible says this, listen, prayer is the key. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I've given you the keys to the kingdom. You have to use the key of prayer to see his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And so if you want to see sex trafficking end in your city, he says, I've given you the keys. You want to see revival happen in your city? I've given you the keys. You want to see people get saved in your high school or your college? I've given you the keys. You want to see abortion end in your city? I've given you the keys. And what we're seeing is when we're going out there on Saturdays and we're interceding and we're praying and we're crying out, say, God, touch that mama. May she have an idea that you love her. May her eyes be open to the revelation. You have a purpose and a plan for that child. What we're doing is we're binding the enemy so he can't deceive her to think that abortion is the only option. And then we're loosing hope. And then we pray, God, we pray hope. We pray our eyes will be open and we're interceding and we're praying and we're loosing. And what's happening is the cloud of deception is leaving. Hope is coming. All of a sudden, they're getting that aha moment and they're choosing life. But prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. So come join us. Next slide. So as we've been out here for the past 3.5 years, this is the results of God's people praying, is we've had well over 1,500 families choose life in the past 3.5 years. Come on, 1,500 human beings. We're talking an entire elementary school. They're gonna have to build in Charlotte as a result of all these babies that are gonna be born. Isn't that cool? We have seen a 70% drop in abortions that are taking place on Wednesdays when the church is fasting and praying, and on Saturdays when we're doing the prayer walk. 70% reduction in abortions. We've seen well over 45,000 people come out and participate in the prayer walk in the last 3.5 years. We're now at 250 churches that have said, hey, I'll adopt a week. And we're now in Greensboro and Raleigh. And we're about, check this out, guys, we're about to start Love Life New York City in September. Come on. Raise your hand if you heard about the legislation, the thing that took place about in New York City. You heard about it. Or those of you that didn't hear about it, they made it legal that you can have an abortion all the way up to birth. And if that baby is born alive during that abortion and is on the table alive, they don't have to revive it. They could just let it die, or they'll kill it. Can you believe that? That's absurd. And not only that, but they celebrated it. They put the Eiffel Towers all in pink. Do you remember seeing that, Pastor Rick? It was celebrated. They cheered. We're in a day now that they are celebrating evil. And so the church in New York City saw what was going on here in Charlotte and said, could we see what has happened here in Charlotte now in New York? And so Justin prayed about it, met with some folks, and they said, we want this. We now have over 25 churches that are planning on adopting a week starting in September. Come on. And so we're going to be praying and interceding. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. Just here in Charlotte, we have 173 churches this year that are adopting a week. 173 saying, hey, I want to be a part of this. And we've seen 25 abortion workers leave the industry and say, hey, I don't want to be a part of this industry anymore. Some of them we got plugged back into the local church. And we're now at over 1,000 people that have gotten connected beyond the prayer work and involved in our mentor program. See, we have a program now that when a mom chooses life, we connect them with the local church and a woman in that local church that will disciple them and mentor them and connect them to other resources. And we have a bunch of other areas that you can connect, and I'm going to talk about that at the prayer walk. Next slide. So I want you to see this video. You're going to have to hit it one more. There we go. This is what took place last year at the end of the 40 weeks. Check it out.
Now, I wish that the good Christian people of my area would have come to that death camp to plead for our lives like you're doing here. If only a few had come, they would have been demonized and destroyed. But what if thousands had gathered? Do not be weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap the reward if we do not lose heart.
We unite today again, not just here in Charlotte, but in Greensboro and in Raleigh.
It is our opportunity today to love our neighbor enough to stand up and be counted. It's our opportunity today to love our neighbor enough to reach out in love and to say there is a better way.
We are a part of the greatest organism on the planet. We believe in your church, and we pray today that you will use us not to bring shame, not to bring condemnation, but to bring hope.
When the church comes together, people notice. When the church comes together, the enemy takes notice. And we're driving a stake in the ground today.
We're not here to put a dent in it. We're here to see it eliminated.
We are here today representing the body of Christ. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a Methodist thing. It's not a Pentecostal thing. But it is a church thing. We can no longer just sit in our churches and pray. We can no longer sit quietly and sit and do nothing. We've got to take a stand. And the moment we join together, they begin to fall. Somebody needs to join together with me and give God the biggest shout of praise.
When I had my abortion, there was not one person on these sidewalks. But God heard the cries of his people, and today the church is here.
We decided to take a stand. It changed our entire church.
And listen, when the church shows up in big numbers, the numbers of abortions go down. When you come here, God shows up.
But if those women in there can hear me right now, you guys have a choice. The church is here to help you walk with that baby. We will help you.
Your prayers and your efforts were not in vain. God intervened. And because of you, and because God was working through you, she's here.
Well, the reason for this land,
The reason for this celebration, the reason for that stake in the ground, is because we're about to see God do something supernatural. La Trobe is no longer going to be synonymous with death and abortion, but will be synonymous with life and adoption.
God has called you to do something. He's called all of us to do something. What is your place on the wall?
Yeah, isn't that exciting to see the church rising up to be a part of this? When I met Justin 3.5 years ago, and he told me his vision to bring Unite and Mobilize the Church, to bring the church out to the darkest place in our city, to not protest, but to pray. And he said, listen, when we do this, God spoke to me and said that abortion would end in our city. And when he said that, I was like, wow, that's pretty bold, man. Nothing is impossible, God, but that's pretty bold to see abortion end. It's never in all of our major cities in the United States. There's not one of those cities. All those cities have at least one, two, or three abortion centers. He said that if this would happen in Charlotte, abortion would end. And a couple days later, I remember I was walking. I was in my car, and I remember walking through my garage to go into my house. And I felt like this God spoke to me and said, Andre, do you know that I want to see abortion end more than you do? And I'm like, yeah, God, of course. He said, I am just giving the Church of Charlotte an opportunity to get involved with already what I'm wanting to do. So this is God's idea. God already wants to do this. He is giving us this privilege as the Church of Charlotte to come together and to pray already his will. Raise your hand if you believe it is the God's will that we don't have abortions. That's right. It is God's will. Next slide. So this is your adoption week. It's simply this: hear, pray, go, and connect. This is the Sunday where you hear about the tragic truth of abortion. Next slide. This Wednesday, I'm asking you, will you fast and pray with us this Wednesday? Last Wednesday, we had three churches fasting and praying with us, and one mom chose life. One human being was saved as the church was fasting and praying. Next slide. This Saturday, we are asking you, Pastor Rick and Tina, we're asking you, will you join us to come to the darkest place in our city to pray and intercede for a prayer walk? Listen, I know it's going to be hot. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to sweat. You're going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to be thirsty. But is it worth it? What would you do to see a human being saved? Will you join us? Think of it as a local mission trip right here in our city. It's great that you go to Africa. It's great that you go to China and Russia. I've been on 25 mission trips myself. I love it. But let's, while we're here in the United States, let's also go to our Jerusalem, to the darkest place in our city, to pray. And listen, when more people come to the prayer walk, more moms choose life. For those of you that are new to the prayer walk, you're going to get a free t-shirt. You're going to get a free wristband. We're going to have security people. Everything's going to be organized. It's going to be all easy for you. The walk is only a half a mile. So if walking is an issue, it's only a half a mile. Don't let that hold you. And even if a half a mile is difficult, bring a lawn chair and just stay in the main site and pray while we do the walk, and then cross the street while we're praying right in front of the abortion center. And bring your family, bring as many people as you can to join you. Next slide. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to go beyond the prayer walk and get connected. Next slide. So today, we are calling you to action. Scripture says this. This is how we know what love is, that Christ Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. We are calling you to action. Will you be willing to be one of those guys, one of those girls, that would stand in the gap for a mom and for one of those babies. In Ezekiel chapter 22, God said, I looked for a man that would be willing to build up the hedge and stand in the gap, but I found none. The cool thing about it here in Charlotte is now that we can't, he can find us now. We're saying, here we are. We are willing to stand in the gap to build up the hedge. What happens when you build up a hedge? You put up a wall. That's what we're going to be doing with our prayers. We're going to be building up a wall of prayer so that when Satan tries to deceive these women to think that abortion is the only option, they're going to run into a wall. He is going to run into a wall. And they'll be willing to understand and realize the gospel message because other people are out there praying and interceding. Next slide. So at your seats, we have commitment cards here. This is an opportunity. And if those of you that have participated in the past, I still want you to fill out this card. In fact, I even want the husband and the wife and the teenagers, whoever has an email address, everybody fill out this card because we notice when more people fill out these cards, more people get all the emails with all the information we send, and then they have everything they need to come to the prayer walk this Saturday and fast and pray with us this Wednesday. So if you would like to participate in Adoption Week by number one, fasting and praying this Wednesday, and number two, coming to the prayer walk, what I want you to do right now is to fill out this card and give us your information, and then check the box if you want to fast and pray this Wednesday, and check the box if you want to come to the prayer walk with us this Saturday. All right, go ahead and fill it out. Even if you filled it out before, please fill it out because we're trying to get a head count and make sure we have enough t-shirts for everybody and everything. We're just going to be sending you emails, which is all the information you need. I know that abortion has been going on for well over 45 years. But nothing is impossible for God. Turn to your neighbor and say, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. That place is going to close down because hearts are going to turn to the Father because we believe God answers prayer. All right. Once you fill out your card, what I want you to do is just close your eyes if you could. If you're still filling it out, go ahead and fill it out. Just close your eyes. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. That are saying, here am I, use me. I want to be available to stand in the gap for these moms and these dads to choose life. So Father, I pray that this week would be an amazing week for my friends. I pray that they would pray like they've never prayed before. I pray, Lord, that they would feel the things that you feel and their hearts would be broken for these moms in crisis. Father, have your way with this church and use them to pray like they've never prayed before. Thank you, Lord. All right, if you're here and you want to participate in Adoption Week, would you raise your hand? I want to see you. Awesome, awesome. Okay, I want you to stand up. All you guys, you're going to participate in Adoption Week. Come on and stand up. I want to see all the troops, the warriors. Okay, here's what we're going to do. What I want you to do, those of you that are standing up that want to participate, I want you to take your card and I want you to put it up here at the altar as your way of saying, God, here am I, use me. Basically, you're just going to say, God, I'm available. Pray through me Wednesday. I'm going to show up on Saturday. Use me so I can stand in the gap for a mom to choose.